things are going to go a little different today than normal. So I'm just going to kind of give you the game plan for the day. And, you know, we already kind of concluded part of our worship. We're going to come back to that a little later. But about a year ago, a little over, Howie Lynch found out that he had cancer. And if you don't know Howie, if you were here last week, he's the one that received the offering. But Howie came to me probably May, June, and he said, I would love to share a testimony of how God made a difference in the last year of my life as I went through this cancer. So I sat down with him in July, and we took time to video Howie's testimony. And so I'm going to share that with you today. I'm looking forward to this. I've broken it up into three different sections. So you're going to see three different videos. And in between each one, I'm just going to teach a little bit about healing. And I'm going to encourage you in this place, if you walked in today needing healing in your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, we're going to pray for healing in your body. We're going to pray that God will heal you before we leave today. And we'll talk more about that, but I want to begin by letting you see the first video. So go ahead and you can play that, David.
Hi, I'm Howie Lynch. Been coming to Cornerstone for about 13, 14 years now. And 1 year ago this weekend, 4th of July weekend, I had some blood in my urine and had it all weekend. And then Monday morning on the 4th, I decided we needed to get to the emergency room. So my wife and I went down to Liberty, and they checked me out. And they were checking for kidney stones and things like that, and did their CT scans. And when they got done, like, everything came back that it wasn't kidney stones. I didn't think it was, but everyone that I talked to that had kidney stones said I would know through the pain. So the doctor on duty told me I needed to come back tomorrow, Tuesday, to talk to the urologist. So we did, and he did some more testing, some scans, and he told me he would give me the results on Wednesday by the end of the day. So 5 o'clock, he called and had said that there was a 2.5 centimeter mass on the dome of my bladder, and that I needed to come follow up on Monday with him. So we get off the phone, and my first reaction was, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit, knowing that it's a tumor. Wednesday, after I got the phone call, I started calling my family, extended family, and letting them know about what we found out. The hardest thing for me was to tell my kids what was going on. I'm so thankful that I raised them up in a church. Made it a little bit easier. They kind of understood. They, of course, cried hard, but they understood. And so anyway, that was Wednesday and Thursday. I got all that done. And Friday, I started opening it up to my church family and some churches up in Trenton. And I just wanted prayer for peace about this whole situation, a clear mind, and hope. That's the three things I was wanting prayer for. And I can tell you that that was on Friday. Well, so here comes Monday. I have to go back to the urologist, and I'm asking, is this a malignant tumor or is it a benign tumor? And he's like, well, 99% of all bladder tumors are malignant. So that shot that down, and so I'm still kind of freaking out a little bit, and so we leave the urologist, and he's got something set up where he's going to go in there and do a biopsy, try to get as much of it off my bladder as he could. And so Thursday the 14th, I can remember, remember it like it was yesterday. I woke up that morning with such a calmness about me and about this whole cancer that I had. And I know it was the prayer that I received in those 4 or 5 days. I extended my information to the churches and friends. And it was a feeling I've never felt before, and I've had it ever since. This cancer doesn't, it's a second, not even a second thought to me. I just go day to day, and I keep praying, and that helps me get through day to day.
First thing I want to talk about this morning is sickness. Where does it come from? Why do we have sickness in the world? And I want to give you a few reasons as to why, so we can understand what we are praying about today. Number one, it's because of the fall of man. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they willfully sinned by taking a bite of an apple off a tree. In Genesis 3:3, God said, "You must not eat from the fruit, the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." So when they touched that fruit, they ate of that fruit, sin entered into the world, and so did the consequences of death. And the precursor to death is sickness. So that is when sickness came upon the world. Now, another reason we have death or sickness is because of foolish living. It's our own, shall I say, stupidity? Is that okay to say? It's our own choice. When we choose to eat wrong things, when we don't exercise, when we put things in our body that are harmful, we create sickness in our own body. So that's one of the reasons we have sickness. Satan is another reason we have sickness. Luke 13:16 says, "Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" 18 years, Satan had a hold on this woman's life. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. That's part of where sickness comes from. Now, when we think about God in this, where does God play a part? Does he want us to be sick? No. However, David said in Psalm 119:75, "I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." It doesn't come directly from God, but it has to be permitted by God. Because if you read Job, Satan came to God and said, "Let me have a shot at this guy." And you see that Job had to come under the attack of Satan. And God says, "Yes, go for it." Now that's Old Testament. If you look at the New Testament, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, "I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." So it's not God causing us sickness. He does not will that on us. He does not want us to be sick. It comes from other people. But if you think about this, if you are to say that God has no authority over that, then how could he heal you? How could God take care of the sickness that you have if you're saying he doesn't have the ability to stop it? So if you try to rescue God from responsibility, then you rescue him from being God at all and the ability to heal. Why would we pray if God didn't have power over that sickness? But how many of you believe God has power over sickness today? Amen. We're going to see that. Actually, it is quite the opposite for me. That comforts me to know that God has complete control of this. So what do we do when we're facing sickness that is beyond our control? What do we do to build our faith in those moments? I want to hear from Howie again, and we'll find out.
So on the next evening, Thursday evening, overnight, I woke up, and it wasn't like a nightmare, but I kind of woke up real quick and just an alarming feel. I looked over at the clock, and it was 1:23 in the morning. I thought, I don't know what this means, but first thing I thought of was, I'm going to get my Bible. And I looked up every book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 23, chapter 12, verse 3. I looked up Psalms 1:23, and I come across Colossians 1:23, where it talks about the Lord has reconciled us through His body being crucified to make us holy as long as we keep the faith. And so that scripture kind of stuck with me through this whole process. And during my big surgery on August 31st, where they were going to take a third of my bladder, remove the tumor, one of the nurses had asked me if I was nervous, and I said, I'm a little anxious about the surgery, but as far as the cancer, I said, I've already given it to the Lord, and He's going to take care of me. And as she left my room, she said, she turned around and looked at me and said, you've got it in the right place. Now you have to leave it with me. And I thought that was really pretty powerful. It's easy to say you're giving something to the Lord, but to actually let Him have it, it's a little bit harder to do. During surgery, the surgeon had told me that afterwards that the robot had quit during surgery, and he had to back out of there and then do it manually, the old-fashioned way, cut me open. And he told me that it was a miracle that that robot broke, because there was more he needed to cut out of there than what he would have saw with the robot. And I'd asked him how many times that's ever happened to him. He's been practicing for 25 years. He could think of one other time that camera had broke to where they couldn't fix it. So that was a miracle in itself. And at that time, that was the first bit of good news I had gotten about my cancer. For about 3-4 weeks there, everything was just negative, 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 negative. Even though I had my calmness about it, I hadn't gotten any good news yet. So after my surgery, we went to the oncologist, and wife and I went in there to meet with him the first time. We were thinking that, you know, probably do some preventative chemo pills or whatever and move on. And as it turned out, he told me that we were going to do some heavy doses of chemo. 6 treatments, a week at a time. And then, so I'm in there 4 days, and then I'm off for 3 weeks. I go back in for 4 days, off 3 weeks, and I have to do that 6 times. And he said it's a pretty extensive regimen of chemo. And I looked over at my wife and in disbelief, thinking, what's going on here? So we go to our first round of chemo in October, and I get through it, and it's not too bad. I got sick once, but that was it. I thought, you know, this may not be too bad. And round 2, a little bit worse. Round 3 is when it really started to get bad. And rounds 4, 5, and 6, I was dreading going in there. I tried my best to just let the Lord have it. And, you know, He's always said He'll never bring you to something He can't get you through. I just kept telling myself that over and over and over. And I remember going in that last round of chemo, 6th round, and pulling into that parking lot. And I just did not want to get out of my car. And had my wife not been there with me, I may not have. So we get in there, and, you know, I get through that last round. It's tough, but, you know, looking back on it, the Lord kept His promise that, you know, He'll bring you through what He what he brings you to.
So the question I ask is, what do we do when this thing is greater than us? When we are having a hard time finding the faith to believe? And I think Howie showed us exactly what we are to do, and that's to turn to God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God has been given to us to build our faith. So when you are struggling with something, when you're having a hard time believing what God can do, you have this tool right here to help you through those moments. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. God's word is where you turn. When I think about Howie in that moment, waking up in the middle of the night, he could have turned to many things. He could have laid there and just let that overwhelming feeling of cancer just bring him down. He could have flipped the TV on and said, you know what, I'm just going to watch the TV until I fall asleep, forgetting about it. He could have turned to the internet and looked up all the horror stories about the cancer that he had, but instead, he opened God's Word and allowed God's Word to speak to him in that moment. Colossians 1:20 is the scripture that he referred to. Through Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. Did you hear how we're talking about the peace that brought him through? He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. It's amazing when Howie talks about, in the middle of this surgery, the fact that God was there with him. Many of us, if you were to hear the story without the last part, if you were to hear that he's in the middle of the surgery and the robot, which is incredible to me that a robot can perform surgery by the surgeon, that blows my mind, but there it is. But the fact that the robot broke, many of us would be like, well, we're praying for him. We're praying this is going to go smoothly, that everything works great, and the robot breaks. What an awful thing that he had to go through that. However, the surgeon comes out saying, this was a miracle that the robot even broke. Once in 25 years that had happened. This was the second time. But the surgeon tells him, because I had to go in there and personally remove it, I found other cancer that I was able to remove to be able to get all of it. And he would not have seen that if it wasn't for the robot breaking. God was there with him. God used the doctors to heal him. Can God heal him just like that? I believe it. Absolutely. But in this moment, God was there and prayer made a difference. God's character is to heal. He reveals his character through his name. And this is the point of Exodus 15:26. He declares himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your physician. He longs to heal you. In the Old Testament, God healed his people. Mostly, it was tied to obedience to his commands. But, thank God, through Jesus Christ, we have healing by faith, not by keeping the law. We believe God can heal because we believe. We believe in him and what he can do. And it's not just for physical healing. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares about your illness, whatever it may be. Isaiah 53:4-5 says this, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and it's by his wounds that we are healed. There's that peace that Howie talked about again. Jesus went through something for us to have peace in those moments when we are going through something. Now, if you look at that scripture in Isaiah, he says, surely he took up our infirmities. Now, that word translated is kolai. It means many different forms of physical illness. The word sorrows that he talks about is makab. It means literally pain. So here's the thing to understand. Jesus dying on the cross covers every manner of sickness, Psychological, emotional pain, distress, covered. Anxiety and fear, taken care of. Everything you need is provided through the atonement. That is a weak amen. Everything you need. If you can believe any of this, you got to believe all of it. Come on. If Jesus died for our sins and He wants us to be well here, He wants us to be well from head to toe. And He has the ability to do it. Can you say amen to that? You have to believe that. You can't just take part of this and say, well, I believe this, but I don't know about this. It all comes in one package. And if you're having trouble believing, this is all you need. You begin to read this, you begin to place it in your heart, and you will build your faith. I want to see part three of Howie's video.
Right now we're just doing CT scans to see if anything comes back. I was told that if it does come back, chances are it won't be good. But the Lord calls me home, I'm ready to go. And my faith, I thought I was pretty powerful with my faith before my cancer, but it has really strengthened since. And I've been so blessed to be able to go through what I've gone through and kind of see it on the other side a little bit. I just thank the Lord every day that it's made my faith stronger. And I think that's probably a testament for everybody that regardless of how strong you think your faith is, it can always be stronger. And there's a couple people in the church that I really need to thank. I know Myron would pray with me every Sunday morning. I know he and Kate, they went through similar situations, and so he was kind of a mentor to me, helping me through this. I've got another fellow up in Trenton, Rick Leafgreen, that I look up to a lot, and I talk to him a lot about my situation. And I think if you surround yourself with people that are faith-based, it helps get through things like this. So, looking back, I know I've had thousands of people praying for me, literally thousands. I know I've had people in Brookfield, Meadville, Chillicothe, Trenton, Highland, Gallatin, Princeton, and Mercer that I know of that have been praying for me. And there's such power and strength and numbers of prayer. And I just know that if I hadn't had all these prayers, that I wouldn't be able to get through what I've went through. Prayer is such a powerful tool for us to use. Like I said, I cannot explain the feeling I felt on that Thursday morning when I woke up with such a calmness about my cancer. My faith has gotten so much stronger because of what I went through. I remember Chad a few months ago talking about valleys, and he had his board up there. And some valleys are deeper than others. But I kind of feel like the Lord let me not really go that far down in my valleys. Even though it was cancer, my valley kind of came back quickly just because of my faith. And I didn't let the devil, dictate to me how I was going to feel about it. And I think the Lord blessed me by not allowing that valley to go any lower than it did. I've always asked the Lord, ever since I found out I had this cancer that if he's not taking me home yet, that I would like to have one person come to me so that I could help them through the same thing I went through. And when I get done with that person, bring me another. I feel like that's part of the reason maybe I went through this is to help someone else. And I'm willing and I'm ready for that person to show up. So keep the faith. Keep praying for me if you would. And just know that there's so much power in prayer.
Man. Let's give Howie a hand for sharing with us. God cares about your illness today. And He is touched by the spirit of our weaknesses. Romans 8:23 speaks of the redemption of our bodies. And these healings we see remind us that someday God will return and completely pull us out of this fallen world. And every one of us will be whole as we enter into heaven. Amen. And every time there's a healing, that reminds us so much more that Christ is going to return. And we will one day be together with Him. But here's what we do today. We ask God. Because if we don't ask, what can He do? He can do it, but He asks us to ask. He wants us to have the faith in Him and believe that He is able. And as we do, then He begins to take over. Now here's what we're not going to do. Can I just tell you something? We're not going to have this hyper-faith, positive confession thing and just say, be healed in Jesus' name, and God has to do it because I said it. That does not work. There's a fine line between great faith and manipulating God. And we are not here to manipulate God. We're not here to just say, you have to do it because we prayed. Because it focuses on the sovereignty of man at that point, not the sovereignty of God. As if faith is a cause and healing is the effect. Faith is part of it. But this cause-effect relationship leaves no room for the sovereignty of God. But God wrote us in to this. Think about Mary when Jesus has not even performed a miracle yet. And they're at a wedding. And His own mother comes to Him and says, they're out of wine, do something. And He says, it's not my time yet. He says, what's this have to do with me? It's not my time yet. However, then He performs the miracle. So because she came to Him, things changed. And because we come to God believing and asking, knowing He is able, things can change. Can you say amen to that? You must believe. This is part of who God is He wants us to have a part in this and our belief. Now, I want to encourage you with one more thing before we close out of this. Luke 18, Jesus told a story, verses 1 through 8, and He tells this story for one reason, and He even tells us why in verse 1. Jesus told the disciples a parable, which is a story, to show them they should always pray and not give up. So He talks about a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to Him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't care, fear God or care about men, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she doesn't eventually wear me out with her coming. And after the Lord said, He said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones? Who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. And when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith in the earth? Let me ask you, when Jesus returns, is He going to find faith here? Is He going to find faith in this church, believing that God is able to heal? that God wants us to truly have justice, if that means justice from sickness. But He tells us we should always pray and not give up. I want to ask the band to just come back. And we're going to worship God in just a moment, and then we're going to do some praying. But can I just encourage you with this? Don't struggle today with God's will. Don't sit back and say, well, what if we walk out of here and we're not healed? What if we didn't pray? What's going to happen if we don't pray? We must begin by asking God to heal us. And if you're struggling in your faith, the first thing I want you to remember is this is what builds your faith. It's God's Word. We believe that Jesus died so that we can be healed, so we must put that faith into action. And the way we do that is by bringing our sickness to God. That's how we put that faith into action. And finally, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. Jesus told us that story for a reason, so that we would understand that although we may not see our healing right now, it doesn't mean God's not going to heal us. It's in His timing that it may happen. But we're going to believe for it today. We're going to ask for it today. And God is able to do it. We can be healed today, just as Jesus healed in the Bible. Mark's Gospel, over 31% of the verses refer to miracles of healing. In Matthew, His healings identified Jesus as the Messiah. In Luke, they demonstrated Him as the Savior. And in John, they were signs that He was the Son of God. If you're in this room today and you are dealing with sickness, all we're going to do is pray. We don't have a formula. There is no great person in this room that's going to bring this. It's God and His presence only that will bring healing. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. I'm going to read this scripture to you. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." I want to say that again. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In this room, we are a community of believers praying for the sick together. There is faith rising in this room, and we're praying in expectation for results. We're praying in anticipation of healing. Because the Bible says so. Not for any other reason, but then because God said, and that's enough. Hear me today, that is enough. That's all it takes. God said, therefore it will be. We're going to stand to our feet and we're going to worship God in just a moment. After I pray. You may say, well, why are we going to worship? Are you trying to drum up, emotions, or what's the purpose of this? It's not because God needs it. His ego does not need us to worship Him. I need to worship Him because I can forget the power of God, the greatness of God. And when we sing about that, it reminds us of who He is and what He can do. I worship because my natural tendency is toward self-reliance and stubborn independence. Thinking that I have to do something. We worship because God reveals Himself as we do. So, Heavenly Father, we need Your presence in this room. We need your healing power in this room. There's nothing else that can do what we're going to ask. So may your Holy Spirit come upon us. As we pray and believe today, Lord, we're asking for healing for those in this room who need it. And God, after we pray, we're going to continue to pray. It doesn't stop in this moment. You've encouraged us to keep asking. So Lord, may we do that. Have your way today, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You may stand to your feet. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship God. We're going to sing a song. And I just ask you to begin to pray right now. For faith, believing that God can heal, and asking yourself, if you have something that you need healing for, after we sing this song, I've asked some people to come down. They're going to stand at the front and be ready to lift you up and agree with you in prayer about this healing that you need. Can I tell you something? If you don't ask, it's never going to come. But if you begin by believing that God is able and putting action to that belief and coming forward and praying for that healing, believing God can do it. How many of you know He is able? There's nothing greater than our God. So let's sing this together and begin to exalt the Lord this morning. This morning as we leave, I just encourage you to continue praying. If you received healing today, please let us know. Because there is power in your testimony. I said there's power in your testimony. So please let us know if you received healing today.